everybody, and welcome to the Wings Christian Fellowship Sunday morning adult discussion Sunday school. Today we are still going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I believe that we have gone through verse 25, and we're going to start today with verse 26, unless anyone has something they want to bring out of the last five verses that we talked through pretty good last week. So with all that being said, Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Father, thank you for another opportunity here to gather this morning and to hear your word and discuss your word.
Yes.
And Father, just give us all ears to hear what's being said today, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. And I believe we've got Mr. Buddy to read out of the Amplified. Now you have to say the Classic Amplified, because they have got a new and not improved, updated one. They're always wanting to change it. Start at 26 and go only to 33. 26 to 33. I think we're going to have a whole discussion about 34.
Mm-hmm. What then, brethren, is the right course when you meet together? Each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue, or an interpretation of it. But let everything be constructive and edifying and for the good of all. If some speak in a strange tongue, let the number be limited to two, or at the most three. And each one taking his turn, letting one interpret and explain what is said. But if there is no one to do the interpreting, let each of them keep still in church and talk to himself and to God. So let two or three prophets speak, those inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh and discern what is said. But if an inspired revelation comes to another who is sitting by, then let the first one be silent. For in this way you can give testimony, prophesying and thus interpreting the divine will and purpose one by one, so that all may be instructed and all may be stimulated and encouraged. For the spirits of the prophets, the speakers in tongues, are under the speaker's control and subject to being silent as may be necessary. For he who is the source of their prophesying is not a god of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order, as it is practiced in all churches of the saints, God's people.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
I wanted to just bring out verse 26 out of the Mirror Bible, because I think it really says what's going on here. He says, I would encourage you to conduct your meetings in such a way that everyone is mutually edified. And I think that's kind of the basis of, you know, we've been talking about speaking in tongues here for, you know, a while. It seems like they really put a lot into it, as though it was, I don't want to say a problem, as though it were, discussions were being had about it even then. It was causing trouble even then.
Because God does all things, he has in order.
Yes.
He has order of family,
yes.
Not confusion.
That's so true.
But so many, there's been the confusion and misunderstanding and that,
that's what happened. Yes.
Because of the way man has done it. You know, and not had interpretation, or just spoke out, which has edified nobody.
That's right. and in man, because man is imperfect and given to our own pride and our, you know, things like that, and given our tendency to judge, and I mean in a good way and a bad way, we have some people lifting up those who can speak in tongues, and some churches making it even today, it make it you have to do it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, still today. So there was a lot of controversy about speaking in tongues, and because of the time that he puts into it, you can see that there was a lot of controversy about it even back then, you know. So, you know, I can think of a person saying to me back in the day when we went to a church like that, oh, he speaks in tongues, you know, like it's some, and are we not all given, a gift of, so anyway, I know, Clyde, you're ready to go.
I like what it says in J.B. Phillips, well then, my brothers, and I love this because it's what it says, well then, my brothers, whenever you meet, let everyone be ready, okay, to contribute a psalm, a piece of teaching, a spiritual truth, or a tongue with an interpreter. Mm-hmm. Everything should be done to make your church strong in faith. What you were saying a while ago, I think it does something to edify when one person does it, and especially when it's out of order, they're edifying themselves. And the other thing is, if it doesn't edify the whole church, should we do it at all? Mm-hmm. Because the whole body, I'm saying church, but I'm actually saying the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That might give us a James episode by doing that, to where we're quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It says it. All right, because they always go back, well, it says it. I go, yeah. But I said, but does the whole body grow in it or gain in it or become one more in it?
When you were saying the whole body of Christ, sometimes I think it also means of those assembled there at that time, unless all are being edified. In other words, here's what I take that to mean. If there is not a person there who is capable of interpreting, then you probably shouldn't be speaking in tongues.
No, you should.
28 says, but if there's no interpreter, how do you know? Is somebody designated as an interpreter or known for interpreting? Because how do you know unless the word is given, mm-hmm, if there's an interpreter? Mm-hmm.
Clyde?
Well, then again, on 28 and the King James, it says, and of course, let one be interpreted, but there is no interpreter. Let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Otherwise, I think that brings on a portion of silence. Mm-hmm. And but what I was getting before what you said is that I think we're not supposed to call divisions and stuff like that among us. And we need to weigh. I think we need to weigh the cost to see whether, you know. Of course, if we try the spirits, then we're in pretty good shape. But we need to weigh the cost that we cause no divisions among us or any confusion. And just because we don't understand it doesn't mean there's confusion there. But we almost need to realize that in so doing, if there's an interpreter, we're fine. Mm-hmm. But if the person that's speaking in tongues doesn't do the interpretation,
and no one else does.
Yeah. And no one else does. Could it have been that it didn't need to be said?
That's my question. I mean, how do you know
until
it's given? How do you know there's an interpreter?
You probably don't, but verse 28 says in the mirror, if there is no interpretation, and I'm sure that would come after a period of time of waiting, mm-hmm, in the Lord for an interpretation, then let the one who wants to talk in tongues rather be quiet. In other words, don't keep going on.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And rather be quiet. He can have his own private conversation with God when he is alone, or even speak in tongues himself under his breath alone. There is a time for groanings and utterings that can't, you know, words that can't be uttered, you know. You can be in a group where there's a definite need for a terrible calamity that might be coming, or you know what I mean, where no one knows how to pray. And the entire body could get together and just pray to God in their spiritual language, which is somewhat the same as in tongues. But no, and you know, it's each person communicating with God, not expecting to be interpreted.
I look at many times they've said that speaking in tongues is evidence, but it's really a manifestation, not evidence, because oh, people that have received baptism of the Holy Spirit but have not spoken in tongues, they could be fearful or don't know how it's going to look or don't have a greater understanding. And it comes more like when Brother Skinner talks to Tobias, then get along with you and God and worship before him and let him give you, come forth in you as. And I know when Tobias went up there, he said, he felt, and he said a couple, this is now the old church, a couple were, you know, came in tongues, and then he didn't say anymore, but he admonished him to spend time with God.
That's good teaching.
Get in the Word, and also spend time with God in your own worshiping of him, which Tobias did. And then God loosed his tongue and he began, but he said God also told him what he was saying.
And that's how it should work.
Even though he was alone with God, just he wouldn't have been so edified if he didn't know what he was speaking for, even though he was by himself, it was him and God. But he said, and God then, after he spoke and was full and just was waiting before God, God began to speak to him and tell him what he had said in the spirit unto God. And God was really speaking it unto him.
That's the difference between knowing God's voice and not knowing it.
Yeah, it is. It is. But people talk about, you know, if you don't speak, you don't have the baptism. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I just believe it's a manifestation like gifts of healing and things. Everyone, God hasn't healed you, everybody, in that. So as individuals, as we look to God, and it was not beneficial. Even if you speak in English, if it's not, you know, not in tongues, that you're in a group and you're going to bring forth something you feel to share. If it's really not God bringing it forth in you and it's not beneficial, then I don't believe it should be brought forth.
And that's probably why there's no interpretation most of the time.
And sometimes I'm saying not even just tongues. I'm talking about us as a group sharing. And sometimes we want to share something and it's us. You know, something. But I believe that when we come together, we all ought to come together with a desire to want to give of what God has given you that week, that day, that we all have something that God has spoken to us, shared with us, has given to us, that we want to share with others. When something's good, you want to share it with others. And I think we should come together with a desire to want to share with one another of what God has done to you, in you, through, you know, that week. Because he's always moving, he's always speaking, he's always doing. We're not many times, we're not on the right wavelength to, you know, to receive.
You know, it says in verse 31, so that all may be instructed and all may be stimulated and encouraged. So you encourage me, I encourage you.
Yes.
I stimulate you, you stimulate me. So
here's the thing I like in this footnote here. It says everything done in worship services must be beneficial to the worshipers. Every worshiper ought to consider himself or herself a contributor.
Yes.
That's the problem. How many people are sitting in churches today don't think that they've got anything to offer?
Or to contribute, yeah.
Wow.
Let's answer that question.
That would be a good thing to have a sermon on.
Let's answer that question.
Everybody.
People are showing up just because they have to show up. And if anybody knows about that, you and I know that.
What's that look mean?
Because the way we were raised.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You had to show up. This is what you had to be there.
Gotcha.
It has something to do with then your desire to be there and to want to participate.
So what are you doing if you're put in a position where they say you have to be there? You're there, but are you there?
No.
What are you contributing and what are you getting?
Yes.
Zip.
Yeah, I was going to say that you're probably getting what you wanted when you were made to go there. Nothing, because you weren't open to going there.
Yeah.
I think it takes the opening. I mean, you know, we was kind of giving Sam a reason for coming so early this morning and tell him what he said on the reason, the very first thing. You come early so you can what?
I can't remember what he
go
said.
Go eat or something after the service. Isn't that what he said?
So you can get out earlier.
So you got early to go eat. And I thought that was pretty funny. But, I mean, you know, it's...
I think you get 1 point for complying to who's ever requesting you to go to church. Whether it's a spouse or a parent, you get a point.
Well, it's like I said last week. When I was growing up, I knew of God, but I didn't know God. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is? It's because I had nothing to offer. If you don't have anything to offer, you're not going to get anything back.
I don't want to be mean.
But you have to have a desire. Yeah,
but you have to have a desire. You have to have the desire. And but if you read this, it says everyone has the opportunity. Everyone has. Let me read this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It says everything done in worship services must be beneficial to worshipers. Every worshiper ought to consider himself or herself a contributor. Yeah. These principles touch every aspect: singing, preaching, and exercise of spiritual gifts. Contributions to the service by singing, speaking, reading, praying, playing instruments, giving must have love as their chief motivation.
Yes.
We can do any of those things.
Go there and show up.
Show up and just
then and entertain.
The word says that his word doesn't return void. So if you're there, by a miracle of God, it could be absorbed. And I've heard of stories like that, you know, people who have gone out on their own to crime or whatever, and they come to a crisis point, and then they remember something that they learned in church,
and
even
God
if they didn't.
That's right.
I think going back to James, I think that we need to realize that all of us are recorders. We're either recorders of what we see, what we hear. I mean, this is actually becoming what we do. Mm-hmm. Later on in life, anyway. But quick to hear would be their I actually only want the Brother Eddie's. Let me tell you something. Joey Mark got married. I had a lot of people from work come with their spouses. I have one couple come up to me after it was all over at the, not church, but at the
reception,
and say, "We want to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" "Your pastor's real." What a comment. One of the greatest things anybody could ever say about anybody. Mm-hmm. Your pastor's real. Why did they say he was real? Because we know that wasn't part of the wedding ceremony when he broke in between them and started singing, "Let Me Tell You I Love You." Let Me Call You Sweetheart. And he said, as soon as he did that, we knew that guy's real. Because, I mean, it's because, first of all, it touched them. They were both raised Catholic. It touched them. And they go like this. So I want to say God's reality will spring forth on everyone that looks for it. And it will surprise everyone that doesn't look for it. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'd rather not be surprised. I'd rather be looking for it. Mm-hmm. Because when we look for it, we see it through a many-membered body. Because the shock is, I mean, is Jesus coming back in my heart? I'm going to tell you, yes, he is. And I'm talking about how they say he's coming back. But I tell you what, he's already come back in here.
Yeah.
That's what makes me long to see him come back in here, in the body. Because I think that is the first step of really, really, really having a relationship with God, is that intimate relationship that you have when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and draws you nigh unto him. And the scripture basically says, unless his spirit draw them, they're not drawn. What a tremendous word. It's not just truth. It's a fulfillment of that truth. And that truth lives within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
And I go like it. And I believe that with every fiber within me. I believe he is the hope of glory. And not only just that you might know that glory, but that others would see that glory. I mean, we don't have to come in and say, okay, you need to bow before me. Even though I do see people doing that in certain areas, but you know, the only one I think we ought to bow before is him. Lay everything at his feet, bow down and say, it's all yours. And then finally look up and say, that includes me.
Yes, Jesus.
Because I mean, you know, I think the word will do exactly what it's supposed to do once it's given out, because like Deb said, it doesn't return void. But another word for void, and it's probably the definition of it, is empty.
Lifeless.
So we,
right.
Lifeless. That's right. That's good. It doesn't do that. So what it does is, and we should realize this, what it does, it springs forth life. It gives us hope,
yes,
beyond what we see here. And thank God it does. Because, I mean, you know, when we bring prayer requests before somebody, I think God, in the fulfillment of what he's doing for the body, sees that the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it. Makes it so. And I think our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we pray.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank God the answer's already on the way. And we know that already, and we can shake our head. Yes, amen. Yay, yay, amen. Yay, yay, amen. And however the outcome is, I still believe it's in his hands.
Yes.
We don't have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I think all we got to do is praise him in it.
Yes.
Praise him in it. You know, when we will heap praise on the things that haven't done in our eyes yet, but he's already done them in his. Mm-hmm. We will call those things that aren't as though they are.
Yes.
Because we'll finally see them in the proper place. We'll see him in Christ Jesus. I love that the word says, in Christ Jesus, we are all accepted in Christ Jesus. And it says, in the beloved, which is Christ Jesus, we are accepted.
Yes.
And I go like this, and I said, I want to tell you something. There's a lot to say about being accepted, because I don't really have a lot to say about being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Because yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And in knowing that and grabbing hold of that, it's more than a hook that's got a fish on the line. It's like the trap that says, what do you think? You're all mine. I got you all. I got it right here. And you know what? I'd rather trust him and run him with it. He's still the potter in our lives. We're still the clay. I think we need to relax when we're in the clay form. We need to relax when we feel like, oh, we're getting a little moisture on us, because that to me is the Holy Spirit showing us that's because I'm still shaping you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Be pliant.
I mean,
don't you think it's so beautiful partaking of the Christ in one another? I know if we get together, and even when I've met with these women that I meet with, they each are giving, and we each are giving of what God is doing, and it's Christ. And we're receiving of him in each one of us. Each one that even I'm just sitting there looking at what everybody's been sharing, and it's Christ. And we're partaking of him in one another. I think that's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Because I was sitting here thinking, when you and Kath were talking, when I walked in before and you and Kath were talking, It's you two pouring out your heart of what God did for you in this week, and what happened in your life this week, and how the Lord's dealing with each and every one of us this week, you know, every day. That's part of the contribution.
It is.
That's actually probably a bigger part of the contribution in sitting in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's the in there is the equipping of the saints to go out there and give the word of God. This was bringing me to Romans, which I know you love, Clive. And it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of that which is to come. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." And where's that thing where it's talking about they're groaning? And that to me goes right back to what we were talking about. Buddy and I were kind of chatting before, and he said, "How you doing, Kath?" I go, "I don't know. I just, you know, I just feel a little bit off." And I can tell you that there are some things that I can talk to my Heavenly Father about in words, that I know I can say to him, that I know he loves to hear, that I love saying. And, "Oh, Father, lift me, you know, grow me up into you. Oh, Father, you know, bring me to an awareness of who I am. Father, give me the confidence that you have for me." All of those things I can say in words. But there are things that I, just like when I get in this mood like I'm in, kind of a, "Oh, I mean, just, you know, it's not, I don't know what's wrong." It says in Romans 8:23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, even we are like this. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. And likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Sometimes we don't. We don't even know what's wrong sometimes. We have a little funny something, you know? But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. To me, that's what speaking in tongues is. When I don't know what to say to God, I can speak to my Heavenly Father with just groanings of my soul. Just, even if, I mean, I'm not even saying it's speaking in tongues, I'm saying there just are no words. There are no words. Molly had all of her teeth pulled the other day, and she can't bark anymore. She just lays there and moans. It just breaks my heart. She just moans. Anyway, she's getting better. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you, the strangest place, God's word appeared in the strangest place. It was on TV in a, I'm going to call it a movie. It's just a thing that you see every week or every day. And why it impressed upon me, because it was Romans 8:18, and it was actually the King James quoting of it. And I'm like, "Oh, got my attention real quick." But they was using that word, "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God which shall be revealed in us." They were using that word there on a piece of paper, it was written on a piece of paper, as a reason for the person to be as they are. And I'm going, "Oh." And so I kind of watched the rest of the show, and they threw out another two or three scriptures at you, justifying like they were. Now, if I tell you the person that killed the person as they are was the ones that wrote them, he was actually writing down his justification for how it was. And I don't say that to confuse you. I say that to tell you, even the words of God can mislead people into believing what they want to believe, to prove what they want to prove, to make it okay. Well, I'm sitting there the whole time going like this, this is not okay. The word's true, but the application to it was not. I mean, how he applied it was not. Matter of fact, it was just the opposite. And I'm thinking, okay. Though I felt like right then the Holy Spirit was showing something to me. And so we can have the word. Let me put it a different way. We can hear the word. But whether, I'll go back to the word recorder, so whether we receive it, not as it's given, but as it's intended by God, that's how we should receive it. All our receivers should be zeroed in or whatever to God, hearing God's voice. If it's of God, then it too shall come to pass in the way God wants it to come to pass. Because we keep on saying in the end, but what we should say, in the beginning as well through all of eternity. That's how we should say it, because it's his will all the time. You know, do we see it like that all the time? Absolutely, we do not. But the clarity of it, the reality of it is, one day we will. When we see him as he is, we will. That's what the scripture says. We will be like him. And that liking, I don't think it's necessarily just an image. I think it's reality of in him we move, we breathe, and have our being. I think it's the fulfillment of all the other scriptures. That the song that he's laid on your heart, he's laid on somebody else's heart. We just don't know until, like Debbie said, until we hear the song. But once we hear the song, oh boy, now we got choir members. Because we got a congregation. There's such a heavenly host that surrounds us. And that host is not for sadness. It's for gladness. It's to know that we know that we know this is good. This is good. And I believe that if it's good, it's of God. I know that he created even good and evil. Oscar me that years ago when we were on the golf course, because I knew where he was going on scripture when he was teaching. I said, see, this week you're going in God created evil. He goes, yeah. And I go like this. I said, we're out on the golf course talking about this. And I go like this. Oh. I said, I can't wait for that. Because why? Because I'm actually looking at the body of Christ. I'm looking, are our receivers receiving that? Oh, God didn't do that. You know, it's because, I forget her name. What's the lady he talks about a lot when he says God will get you to where he wants you to get
Clarice
you?
Clarice Lewis.
You know, for what the reason he has for you to be there. And, you know, and I think, you know, there's a place in our lives that going on every day that we breathe. Yeah, God's willing to show us something new and refreshing to go, uh-huh, okay, we understand that. So when we look at somebody who maybe is lost in it, you know, you could the depths of them are just barely hanging on. What would God have us do? Because I believe he's a doing God. He would have his body do something about it. Whether it put an arm around a person and comfort them. Whether they go over and if they choose to cry, cry with them. Whatever it is, because in Christ Jesus we know there's a time and place for everything. And I'll have to say, in Christ Jesus I haven't come to the knowledge of when we're supposed to do that stuff, but you know, in Christ. And I think a lot of times people act like, you know, well, you know, I failed, but in Christ I'm not sure if we do fail. I think it's a moment in time that he's designated for us to learn just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. If we learn something of God just a little bit more every day, I've heard Oscar say it many times from here and out there. If I could do it, I'd gladly give up everything I know for that which I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's talking about God there.
You know the scripture, because I had written in here at the Romans 8:18 also, there's a really a further confirmation of it in 2 Corinthians 4:10-15. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Christ, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he was raised up, Lord Jesus shall raise us up by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace of might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My comfort goes right along. Beautiful. What God's doing, speaking, shaping, molding. And he takes that which we look at as evil, that he worketh it. He worked good out. He uses that even. Because I remember Ray Prince and he's talking about God is in control. And he was talking about you know, the evil and that, which God gets glory out of all things.
I like going back to Joseph, since we have to go back to Joseph. Otherwise, you know, in God's time that happened yesterday. But in our time it happened wait.
Yes.
But the whole thing was, he was still in Christ Jesus, not imputing their trespasses. We might as well say that, because that's what he was doing. He was doing it to restore them. Especially, how do you restore them? You meant it for evil, but God meant that for good. And I'm going. And I mean, I think that just wasn't only talking to his brothers, but that was talking to his everyday life that he had been going through, or visitation. We act like when we go through something, it's a whole thing, but it's we're only a visiting that time. There's only a time that we do stuff, and you know, I'm one of those people that I always believe that, you know, you don't have the opportunity to go do something again. I told Debbie years ago that the only opportunity you have to impress somebody is when you first meet them. After that, you know. She woke me up one morning, the neighbor needed to go to Indianapolis or something like that. I mean, I was working third shift, so she woke me up. I said, okay, and that's one of the first things that hit me. I said, well, it's your first opportunity. So she took her and her grandson or her granddaughter or whoever to Indianapolis.
Hmm.
his opportunities before us every day.
Mm-hmm. He does. And it's such a privilege to fulfill that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mike and I were out the other day, and we had such a great time. Because I think it was in both of our hearts. I don't think we talked about it before we went, but we talked about it after it happened. It was in both of our hearts to give whatever little bit of Christ we could to whoever we ran into that day. Nothing big, nothing, you know, nothing big at all. But a smile, you know, walk up to somebody you don't know and say, hey, how you doing today? You know, just being loving. And I was singing the whole time that I was thinking of that Beatles song, it's easy, all you need is love. Well, sometimes that's not easy, but you know. And we the blessings that we received from that day out, we were just on top of the world, driving home saying, wasn't it such a fun day today, wasn't it? We met people, we talked to people. You know, it was no big deal. It was so, it flowed so naturally out of our being, you know, out there in the world.
Cause it was him.
Oh, it was so wonderful.
It was him.
It does not have to be, you know, walk around with a Bible in your hand.
Destruction is on its way, my friend. You know,
on a soapbox on the corner of, but. I don't know, this kind of just came to me, and I thought, is it getting ready to be time to close? But I was thinking of this final, this is in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is the verse that got me. And it's, I think it's what we're living in right now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, if you're mad at somebody, if you have a resentment of somebody, stop it. Get over it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. When you do that, you're blocking that person up to salvation and to, you know, a good relationship. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, sometime I would like to do a deep dive on that. You know, because God created evil. You know, I'm just telling you what I've read in the Bible. We wrestle against powers and against rules of darkness of this world. Why? Because we have victory in Jesus. You know, if it were already apparent, just like it says in Romans, it has to be made apparent. People are groaning. They're standing on tippy toes to see, you know, the sons of God being manifest. How are we going to be manifest if it is already manifest in the life we live? I mean, in the world that we live in, we have to have some principalities. We have to have some powers and some rulers of darkness in this world, so that we can wrestle against them and overcome them, but not in our own overcoming, in the overcoming that Christ has already done, and we just have to manifest it as his full-grown, mature sons. You know, it's really something that gets me, because it seems to be contradictory, and it isn't. It's all in the plan of God.
That's interesting, Kath, because a couple weeks ago I had a conversation, and I think I told you about it, with our daughter, and there was something going on with us, And she was carrying on, you know, oh, are you okay? You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and she was just like, oh, how can you, so, you know, how can you get through that? How, you know, it was just crazy. She was just, and I said, because I believe in something bigger than all of it, that it's going to get me through it. She went, huh? She said, I'm not worried about it, Jen. I said, there's nothing to worry about. You know, whatever it is, we'll get through it, and it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And she just couldn't, she can't picture that, what I can't even think of what word it is.
It's your faith.
Yeah. Well, she can't picture the reality of it. She can't picture the reality, or even the possibility of the reality of it.
Yes.
Well, if I can go back to what Kathy said about wrestling, I think it's good that we're wrestling, because we're wrestling because Christ lives within us. If we weren't wrestling with it, it's probably because we've given over to it. Because Christ in you won't let you give over to a lot of things that go against Scripture. He won't let you. He wants you to wrestle. Why? Because he's on your side, and as soon as you realize that, chances are you're going to go to the Word. He's going to show you in the Word. He's going to reveal it to you. You're going to get a phone call to verify what you've already read. You're going to see somebody that's going to encourage one another. Mm-hmm. And then what? For that moment, you cease to wrestle. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, I think it's Christ in you that causes that wrestling, especially when it's disturbing to him. When it disturbs him, you know, God's going to conquer all. We're supposed to, I love what you said about not bringing the Bible, not doing this, not putting that down. Especially when I know we're supposed to be the epistles of God, read of all men. And I go like this, I said, I think sometimes, I'm not talking about you, I'll talk about me and say, I think sometimes people read a very short story. It's like when you... I do believe that when you meet somebody for the first time, that's the moment in this world that you either, I said, what's the word I want to use? You either show them contentment or you don't. We present Jesus Christ. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who's going through something and sit down with them and say to them, I know this is a really bad situation, I understand, but you know, have you gone through stuff like this before? And if they say, yeah, what happened at the end? And they'll say, well, do you ever think that this might be the same thing? You're going to go through it, but you're going to come out okay. People understand that. But you have to let them understand it on their level when they're going through it. And then you have to present the Lord to them on the level they're at. Even when they're at a low level, you got to present the Lord to them that, you know, you got through that situation because... You know, you weren't alone through this situation. You had the Lord on your side. And he'll say, oh, no, I can't believe that. But the truth is, do you have any other explanation why? And they can never come up with another answer to that. There's no answer to that. Except the Lord. That's the only answer they can give you. They can try and give you something else, but they, in their heart, when you lay it out that way, that's the only thing they can tell you.
They finally realized they weren't alone. I mean, we have so many words of wisdom from God's Word. We have so many songs that He's taught us that takes a situation and allows us to see it different because of the Word that we've received. And now He says, now you get to live it.
Well, that's just like when I was... All those years ago when I was running that marathon, I was training. Every time I'd go out on a training run, I sang the whole song. Victory, oh victory, now is if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. You know? And I never thought about how tired I was. I never thought about anything. All I thought is, okay, I'm just keep going forward and I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Something made me think of when Pat died. Clyde asked me to speak about her for a little bit, and I found this poem called The Gospel According to You. And what it was, you know, there's, Joey has a friend who never heard of Jonah and the whale. She goes, didn't you go to Sunday school? No. And they haven't heard of Jesus either. So what they see of Jesus in you is the gospel.
Mm. Yes.
There's a sign up in Trenton. And I think it's a church, but I'm not sure. And every time I go by it, I kind of giggle. It says, if you met yourself today, would you like you? Think about that. Think about that for a second. If you met yourself today, would you like you? That goes back to what you said before. You only get one chance to impress somebody. Would you impress yourself that you would like yourself?
Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might, his might. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God. And then it says, the other one is, right after that, wherefore taking unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all,
stand.
That's not real active. All you gotta do is stand. So because you are recognizing the power of his might in you, they'll run.
You know, you were talking about that song last week, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And when we heard it, my cousin, first cousin, her mom and my dad were brother and sister. And I could just see her. She was real little. And at the Jerusalem Baptist Church, where a lot of her family went, she sang that. I don't know whether she even remembered it, that she sang that song. Mm-hmm. See, I can see her now. She's real little, she had real long hair. And I thought of it because my cousin, another cousin, had talked to her. She's had a whole lot of surgery. She's had, has rheumatoid arthritis. And she's had, we call her the bionic woman, you know, kid with her, but really not funny, really. Because she's had hip replacement, shoulder replacement, knees, elbow, all of this, and she was in the hospital, and then out, now back in. And I called her the other day. Just I had not talked to her in a year or more, and my cousin was concerned about her, and so I called her, and she was so glad. And they said, and the one, her sister said she's getting early, dementia. Mm-hmm. She's like maybe 6 years, 7 years younger than me or so. And so I text to her, and she thanked me for calling and all. And I told her that we remembered her in prayer. And I text to her that we had talked about the song. And I said, and I could see you as a little girl and stand up in front of church and singing it, solo. And so I let her, and I sent the song to her, and I let her know that how I loved her and that God loves her. And I said, and I know he remembers you saying that, and he remembers, he has never forgotten you either. And God just had me just to minister. And she texted back, she loved me and she thanked me. And her name is Delilah. So her dad named her, but we always called her Lolly. I don't know where the Lolly came from, but after we saw, as we're kids, and we, after you read the Bible, put Delilah, I said, why did we name her so that? Why did her dad? But she's been one that's been very skeptical growing up, and her dad died when she was young. She was close to her dad, and I don't think she ever really got over that. She was a little girl that was hearing her sister, and she was closer to her dad, and he died of a sudden heart attack. He was only 38. So So remember her, you know, in prayer, remember her request on her, because her sister's concerned that she's not doing, you know, well.
It looks like it's about time. So I choose Buddy. Would you choose Buddy?
Thank you for your word today and all this love that filled this room, Father. May it go out and fill the main sanctuary, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Your presence is love and is greatness and is power.
Yes, Lord.
And just humble us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That you are all in all.
Yes.
And you are all in us.
Yes, Father.
Just have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.